Census 1234 invites you to Get This with Tony Martin and Angus Simpson.
Good morning, Adelaide. Good morning, Brisbane. Good morning, Melbourne. Good morning, Sydney. It was alphabetical, so nice. Nobody feels offended. Ed Cavalier's in the sidecar.
Morning, Tony.
And let's have some of that canned applause, please, if you could, Mr. Beer, for Angus Sampson.
Morning, boys. Morning, girls.
Oh, it's nice hearing that voice.
Lovely.
That's a bit of a radio voice,
lovely
Angus.
Voice.
To go with the radio head, some would say.
Do you do any, ads? Is that you we hear?
Lots.
Which one?
You may recognise me from the all-new Nissan.
Oh, I see.
And Melbourne Storm making a big impact.
Oh, fantastic. Are you snapping at the heels of, I think his name is Steve Britton, who is the guy who does, have you ever rendered a video that wasn't quite right?
It may have been an illegal pirated copy.
I know that whole thing off by heart because I worked in a video store for 8.5 years.
8.5 years? Give that a round of applause, right, please.
I don't know about that.
That is one of the main reasons that Ed Cavalier is doing this show with me. When I found out he worked at a video shop for 8.5 years.
Yeah. At what stage of the video shop, the life of a video in a video shop, does the video get chosen to go into the weekly section?
That's a good question.
Well, if I liked it, if I thought that people should have it for longer, like they re-released With Nail and I.
Oh, great film. My
favourite movie.
Is that your favourite movie?
Yeah.
You would have been like 3 when that came out.
And I really liked it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, exactly. So then, when that would come in as a re-release, it'd be like 3 days higher. And I would think that was kind of ripping people off. So I would change the stickers and put it in the weekly section so that the people like me that liked the film would get a crisp new copy.
Wow. So you were just sort of wielding the power.
A lot of power. Yeah.
What one did you put right down the bottom, you know?
When Forces of Nature with Sandra Bullock and Ben Affleck came out, I was proactively getting people not to take it. They'd bring it up to the counter and I'd say, are you sure this is how you want to spend the next 2 hours?
You're changing the sticker to like an hourly rental?
I once, do you guys know Shakes the Clown?
Yes.
Shakes the Clown is written, directed by and starring Bobcat Goldthwait as an alcoholic party clown. It's got a bit of a cult following. Adam Sandler's in it, one of his earliest films. And I remember renting that from, I think, Video Easy and taking it back and giving it to the guy and he just goes, oh, mate, you can hang on to that one. I just took it home. I've still got it. They just didn't want it back.
Well, Bobcat Goldthwait, he has a film that's about to come out.
Yes!
Cinematic release, and it was massive at Sundance this year. It was the film to go and see.
I don't even know if you can describe the plot on air.
Have a go, Angus.
Basically, it talks about should we reveal our deepest, darkest secrets
to our partners
and therefore live with the consequences of...
He's taken a very unlikely sexual perversion involving a dog and he's turned it into a beautiful romantic love story. And it shouldn't work. By all accounts, it should be a disaster, but good reviews and people saying it's...
I could do the voice for it, and Ed could.
What?
Have you ever seen a film?
Cat Goldthwait.
Thoughts about your dog that you shouldn't?
What's it called?
It's called Saved.
Saved.
No, I've made that up. Oh, it's called something like that.
Yeah.
Save Me or something.
Save me. Yeah.
Save Me. But it's a wonderful thing on Foxtel at the moment. They're doing the Police Academy
marathons.
Unfortunately not, but they're just interspersed throughout the grid and I happened to catch Police Academy 2 this week.
Oh, is that Citizens on Patrol? Awesome.
That's a bad one.
Their first assignment. Citizens on Patrol's 3, I believe, where Bobcat's in. And Mauser. It's the one with Mauser where he can't... They say, I don't think you can tell the difference between champagne or beer. And he's like, as if. And of course, he lets them masking tape his eyes. And then when they rip it off, he has no eyebrows.
Boom.
Yes. How long would that last in new releases, Ed?
On my watch?
Yeah.
Not long.
Now, look, the reason Angus is here, apart from just talking bad movies with us, is Kokoda. Kokoda is opening on Anzac Day. And we're going to... Am I wrong about that?
Today.
Oh, today?
Yes.
Well, yeah, why does it today. Say opening on Anzac Day?
I think there was a savvy marketing release thing right. by the publicists, so you could actually say, oh, yeah, it's Anzac Day, we kind of, as opposed to today, yeah. which is actually Hitler's birthday.
Right, so they've gone Anzac Day. No, Hitler's birthday? Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah. So a lot of people are going, and even, you know, even half of the people that are making the film going, yeah, well, you can catch it on Anzac Day, and I'm going, Tuesday? Why would they be opening a film Tuesday? But yeah, it is Hitler's birthday today.
Have we got a round of applause for Hitler's birthday? What will we send him? Poland! No, look, we're going to stick around and talk more rubbish with Angus Sampson on Get This. That's Candy. Yes, everyone's singing along and here it's Get This at Triple M. Angus Sampson is with us on the panel. You've known him for, well, he was on Thank God You're Here last week.
Yeah.
Made Ed jump through some hoops.
Do you think that I'm of the belief that they should introduce and thank Ed and the ensemble cast? A lot of people asking me that.
What about Ed's worried that if the ensemble cast become too prominent, he'll be sacked.
No, I just don't want to. It's about, you know, it's about the guest. We are so stoked to be there, but we, you know.
Yeah, enough. And
that's somebody at the bottom of the show business league 5 years from now. It's about me. It's about man number two.
Now, listen, that movie, Bobcat's movie, is called Stay.
Stay. Not Saved Me. That's not boding well for the show where we're going to get people to stump us movie-wise.
Yeah.
That's going to be a whole episode of the show. We're going to get Lockie Hume in here. Do you know him?
Fantastic, with him? Yes.
He knows his movies backwards. He's a confronting personality, I'll give you that. But he does know his movies.
He does.
What about when you said that, I was thinking, okay, I wonder what I could stump Tony with, but I just saw you then and just thought, Strezlecki.
Strezlecki. It was no Sturt. I can't remember. People yell that at me. I have weird people yell barge-ass lines at me from cars. Do people yell things at you? Because people don't know that you were, of course, the enforcer on Recovery.
Yeah.
No. That's not meant to be a secret, is it?
No. No.
I hope it wasn't. No. We're a new show. Not many people listening.
We can edit it out.
Yeah,
it's cool. For those of you that may not know, that there was a program on ABC called Recovery, which was a live music show on Saturday mornings from 9 to 10. Thank you.
With Dylan Lewis.
With Dylan, the beautiful
and
Dylan
Lee
Lewis.
Winnell.
And Lee Winnell. And it was all sort of a bit young upstart kind of boys and girls. And I auditioned for it and was thinking, you know, this is my first ever audition in anything, any professional work. And they rang up and sort of said, yeah, you got the gig. And I was sort of doing some reporting and, you know, chatting to the camera. Okay, what is it? Well, you'll be a mute with a balaclava on your head. You won't say anything. Try and keep it to a minimum. And so I by the end of it, after doing that for maybe 3 years, I kind of like was justifying to myself, well, maybe it's the commedia dell'arte. You've been selling masks.
But are people now aware? Do you get people, you know?
Yes. And the interesting thing is that I was in Perth on the weekend over Easter and down at Yalling Up and Margaret River region. And I went to the OBH Hotel and a lot of people were sort of very jovial for some reason, maybe a lot of chocolate or whatever. But people come and they're like, hey, you're that bloke from telly or whatever. And I was like, happy Easter. And it's like you're trying to have a conversation and they're like, yeah, I loved you on Recovery. I'm like, guys, come here. You know, I'm literally embracing them saying, what else did you like? Like, because obviously
friends
when...
forever.
Yeah, Tony, you obviously have some things that you are close to your heart professionally. Ed as well, and I know Mr. Bear is is holding it very close to his chest at the moment. Yeah. He's just got an iPod with canned laughter.
He loves canned... Look, let's give him something to use the canned laughter for. Did you... the Tom Cruise birth, have you been following that?
I heard yesterday it was the leading news item.
I know.
Right. John Howard declined to send a telegram of congratulations to Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes because he refuses to say Suri. There you go. Oh, sorry, I just had to throw one in just to keep the beer on his toes. Now, what were we talking about?
Actually, where
things that are close to your heart.
Things that are close to your heart.
I wanted to ask you, Angus. I did some research, Tony, this morning.
Oh, this will be good.
Thank you very much. And I found an interview with you, I think it was a year or so ago, about a theatre show.
Yes.
And at one point, you said that people had asked, they were trying to pay you to go and hang out in nightclubs.
Yes.
did you do it?
No. No.
Is it David Brent in the Austin Powers
costume? It was. Who am I? It was... you have an idea of what you would like to do. And for most people, it's kind of owning an island or something, or, you know, helping disadvantaged people out. Thanks for getting me in, by the way.
Your island is waiting.
And for me, it's kind of, I would like to sort of be known as and respected amongst intelligent people, I guess. That's kind of the idea. Mm. And I'm not sure how many sort of intelligent people go to Adelaide night spots and play their top five, you know, rooting songs. So those sort of, you know.
So what was the deal? They wanted you just to show up.
I know. I did a program called Greeks on the Roof. I played a character. Yeah.
Effie's cousin.
Effie's cousin, Dimmy. Mm. Yeah, and you sort of see it. People, I don't know who is being paid to do these things, where they why aren't they getting Tony Martin or Ed in? You know, it's a real it's fascinating. So they just go, let's get that that loser guy to come in, and he's got a lot of energy. Anyway, you end up, it's very flattering, it's very humbling, because they end up paying you a lot of money that you don't actually, you actually would like the money, because it's nice to go and, you know, go and go, hey guys, remember this Dave Dobbin and the Herbs.
You're having at the New Zealand national anthem there. I'm not going to stand.
I do remember. The interesting thing is, basically the reason I never did it is because I was at Noosa once on a holiday, and I went up to this place called the Rolling Rock on a Wednesday night, and they had like $2 beers, and there was about 30 people in there, and it's like, okay, Noosa, are you ready to rock?
Yeah!
And a couple of... three or four people sort of went, yeah, and I sort of stopped my conversation and went, what? He said, okay, Noosa, let's raise the roof. And the song he played was One Shot in the Revolution, John Farnham's Poison Pen. And I kid you not, John Farnham's Poison Pen, let's raise the roof.
And any sign of the roof raised?
It's still open apparently now. And hello to all the Rolling Rock Wednesday night regulars.
Well, Angus, you've joined us on, of course, Thursday, and that's when we play our top five rooting songs. We've got to play one now. We'll be back in a moment.
Triple M.
That's those Veronica's Everything I'm Not Here at Get This on Triple M. Have people been calling in, Ed, for Angus Sampson?
Yes. A nice gentleman just called in to ask if you were Evan from The Secret Life of Us.
No, I played Tyrone on The Secret Life of Us.
Did you now?
Who was Tyrone?
He was a video shop Nazi.
Was he?
Yeah, so based on Ed. What? He was literally the guy that was, you sure you want to rent this? Okay, interesting.
Yeah. I had a guy who worked with me who was exactly like that. He was on his high horse. You know?
Yeah, well, basically, you'll be pleased to know that after my first episode of Secret Life of Us, they axed the show.
Really?
Unrelated.
And, of course, Evan, but Evan was a different voiceover. That's the Hungry Jack's voiceover guy.
Lovely Sam Johnson. When he was doing voiceovers and sort of was known for his voiceovers as well, they spoke to a beautiful man by the name of Philip Webster, who's a sound engineer in Melbourne, and sort of a doyen of voiceovers. And they said, who's going to be the next big thing? Because in voiceovers, you're actually competing against yourself if you're on air.
Right.
Literally, that's what it is. Like, people... And, you know, there's a thing of, like, if you've got integrity, you don't do voiceovers or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Really?
You're not saying, the Holden cab chassis now.
Tell that to Bud Tingwell. he's got integrity coming out his ass, and he's on every voiceover.
He is. And this man, Philip Webster, said, who's going to be the next big thing in voiceovers? And the newspapers said, me. But they spelt my surname Samson without a P, and I was sitting by the phone going, okay, doing the voice warm-ups, here we come. I did not get a voiceover for 3 months. I was like, geez, Angus Samson without a P is really raking in the cash at the moment. It's a real, like, that's what I told myself. But, yeah, it's wonderful. But, yeah, it's nice that there's some Secret Life of Us fans.
Oh, yeah. Now, you mentioned off-air that you've been overseas in LA, and do you do that thing of looking for obscure celebrities?
Certainly, Tony. I know that you're a massive fan of that. What happened was I was there in December. My housemate is Lee Winnell, and he made the Saw films, and is responsible for that. And they're shooting Saw 3 at the moment.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Does he do anything, or is he just living on an island going, yeah, saw a leg off, that'll do. That could be a sequel. Approved. Someone else can ride it. And what haven't we sawn off yet?
It's a one. It literally is amazing what happens. I got to stay there for a month, and of course, with the success, the fiscal success of Saw, everybody there is kind of like, you know, he might be sort of pitching an idea of just as a joke, and they're like, we like it, great. Three guys in a radio booth? Yeah, okay. And he's sort of looking over there, and we play canned laughter. Fantastic.
Canned. Yeah. Coming soon. Yeah. Canned.
Bobcat Golfway. And so I got to meet all, you know, and hang out. There's a place there called Chateau Marmont, which is steeped in entertainment
history. Number of people have died there.
Have they? Died. The story of James Dean climbing in through a window to audition for Giant. And landing the part of a film called Giant. And we went there, and I ended up sort of, first night I was there, I was having dinner and talking. And Lee's like, oh, God, there's got to be some celebrities here. Just before we went to leave, these girls came and said, oh, do you mind if we sit here? I'm like, cool. They came and sat down. Nicole Richie and Misha Barton. And you're kind of going, okay, so what do you guys do? Sure enough, I'm like, is that Jason Bateman over there? Like, as I'm talking.
Someone who's on a good show.
Yeah, it was like mid-conversation, I actually cut them off. I'm like, and sure enough, after a while, you got sort of, not bored, I got to go and speak to Woody Allen and Quentin Tarantino and stuff. But the highlight for
really?
Me, the highlight for me was seeing Cookie from City Slickers in Beverly Hills, the chef who hurts his leg, the alcoholic chef, who was wandering down the street in Beverly Hills, and Brad from Pulp Fiction, you know, where Samuel Jackson's goes, oh, I'm sorry, is that a whopper?
Yeah.
You know, and is, yeah. Do they speak English and what? And I'm like, Brad, you know, is it ridiculous? Who did you see?
Oh, I was on a tram in San Francisco, and I just noticed the bloke across from me just had hands the size of dinner plates, and I looked up Lou Ferrigno.
I met him.
Lou Ferrigno, the Hulk, and sitting next to him, a tiny, tiny woman, who I assume must be Mrs. Ferrigno, Lady Ferrigno.
She is. I met him at a cartoon and comic swap in New York City.
Yes.
And I literally, there was him, Adam West, aka Batman.
Oh, wow.
The Riddler.
Frank Gorshin,
when he was, rest his riddling soul. There was the guy from Never Say Never Again, who, aka, I think, Punjab from Annie, the musical / movie, he was there, and Lou Ferrigno. And I felt, and you had to pay to get their autographs. And I was shooting pictures of them off the hip with my camera.
In your belt buckle camera.
Not wanting to pay. And Adam West had just had an eye job. And he had his
That's a surgical procedure, not a sexual term.
And Lou Ferrigno, I got Lou to sign. I bought some photos of him and posters. And I said, he's like, Odo. And I was like, Angus. And he's like, what? And I was like, Angus. And he looked to his little wife and he's like, what is he saying? This also sounds a bit like Arnie, but, and she said Angus, and she's like A N N.
Wow.
A letter at a time.
Spell it out. I love how we've just passed over Nicole Richie and Michelle Martin to get straight to the Adam West kid. Did those two women just look like a couple of chopsticks sitting there?
I had never seen The OC, is it?
Yeah.
I'd never seen The OC, so I just thought, oh, she's a really lovely dresser, this woman. Like, she had such a wonderful style. More importantly, I did catch a lift to Target with Banya from Seinfeld.
We're just name-dropping.
Jerry.
We're just name-dropping now, and I'm sorry to interrupt this stream of incredible names, Angus.
What about the Mercedes-Benz dealer from The Sopranos, Series 5? I mean, I saw her.
But we've got to talk about, we need psychic energy in the room. Do we want some psychic energy?
Everybody needs to know what's going to happen.
A lot of people have been calling up saying, you know, why don't you get a medium on your show? Why don't you get a medium to come in and predict things? And the thing is, it's hard to find a really good one. You know, some of them aren't as reliable as others.
True.
So let's hear some of the work of respected medium Simon Liminal.
Sharon, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I'm picking up something from the other side. It's a name. It's a Marg or a Mary.
Who?
Or a Michael.
Michael?
Is it a Lance? A Leslie?
No.
A Nathan? Elizabeth?
Craig,
I was about to say Craig. Is he someone close to you? Is he someone dead? Is
he
someone,
my uncle.
Someone who was an uncle to you? He says that he's all right. He's feeling a certain kind of nonchalance, a certain kind of otherness, a certain kind of...
He was a milkman.
That's right. He was a milkman.
Yes.
He says not to worry about the about the
inheritance.
The inheritance, correct. That's what he's saying. I'm reading that very clearly.
Yes.
And there's another gentleman coming in from spirit.
Someone else.
Your dad has your dad passed?
No.
What about your father's father?
He's still alive.
Still alive. What about your father's father's father?
He's dead.
That's what I thought. I'm getting a very clear reading. This was somebody. His name was Michael. His name was Lance. His name was Shane.
Huckleberry,
of course. That was next on my list. He's giving me a very clear message. He's giving me, Sharon, sweetheart, stay with me. Okay. He's giving me a very clear message. He's saying, don't worry about the...
Yes.
The operation. Is somebody having an operation?
No, we're having a party.
That's what he's saying to me, a party, a gathering, a get-together, a celebration. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you're there. Craig's dead. He's not there. But I'm sensing somebody else.
My sister. It's
your sister. Exactly, your sister. Is it Elizabeth?
Nicole,
she's there. And I'm getting a message from her.
But she's alive.
Maybe you're getting a message from her. Is she texting you?
No.
She's not. But are you there with... Your father.
No.
Your father, is he there? Is your father's father there?
No.
Is there anyone I could speak to?
Look, I'm confused.
Sweetheart, I'm getting the feeling that somebody's going into surgery. Somebody's going to see a doctor. Somebody's going to see...
Shannon Knoll
in concert. They're going to see Shannon Knoll. And I'm sensing a vehicle. Is it a laser? Is it a Ford laser? Is it a...
mountain bike. We've got a mountain bike.
A mountain bike. He's riding a mountain bike to see... the Shannon Knoll concert, and he's saying to you, don't worry about the little one, of course, that was the daughter who's passed on, who's still with you, who's
with
there,
me.
Who's with your sister.
My sister.
And she's sending a very clear message to me, sweetheart. She's saying, don't worry about...
The cat,
because the cat's passed on. It's in a better place.
It's at the cattery.
A much better place for a cat to be, and it's sending me a message. It's sending me something.
Sending
it's saying,
message.
Is somebody having a birthday? Have you got a birthday coming up in the next week? Is there a birthday in your future?
Well, no.
In the next month?
My birthday's in September.
I'm getting a very strong sense of September.
Yes.
You're going to have a birthday.
Yes.
And somebody is going to be there. Your sister is going to be there. Phoebe. Is it Natalie?
Nicole.
You mentioned her earlier. That's the one. She's going to be there.
Yes.
And she's got her daughter with her. And she's got tickets to see...
Shannon Knoll.
Another Shannon Knoll concert.
Yes.
That's right.
We're going again.
And she's saying everything's going to be fine.
Oh, my God, is she?
Everything's going to be fine.
Oh.
That's all right, Sharon. That's all right, sweetheart.
Oh,
it's going to be fine.
Oh, that's such good news.
That's all right. That's what I'm here for.
Simon Liminal. Non-specific generalizations from the other side. Book now.
Did somebody drown?
No.
Plane accident?
No.
Fell into machinery?
Nah.
Some kind of machinery?
No. Nah.
Was his name David?
No. Nah.
That was a shot in the dark.
Get this.
We won't be taking an axe to it the way Labor would if it were to win the next election.
For Census 1234 on Triple M. At Triple...
It's in excess. It's Get This on Triple M. Let's get straight into Talkback Mountain today. Angus Sampson is with us, and we've talked about everything except the film you've got coming out. It's called Kokoda. It's out today.
Yes.
It is today.
Don't believe that Anzac Day nonsense. Never.
The film is actually, I don't know how you would describe it other than I think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Ed, you saw it last night.
Yeah, I saw it last night. To look at it, it's stunning. But I would like more Samson. I won't say what goes on, but I could always do with more Samson in my life.
You certainly learn humility when you go to watch a premiere of your film.
I had to go.
Sans three scenes you recorded. it's like... okay, and the director sort of puts his head next to you and goes, sorry about that. You didn't work out.
But it's tense, though. I mean, it looks beautiful,
it's
but it's tense. And it's just like the stuff that those guys must have been through is just...
amazing. If for you, very, very briefly, Kokoda, a massive, massive, massive moment for, I guess, us as a nation, us as a cultural sort of identity. 1942, New Guinea's under attack. Or Guinea, as it was called then, or Papua, Maybe.
That's right. That's before Triple M renamed it the All New Guinea.
And sure enough, these guys who were volunteers, militia, found themselves up in Papua New Guinea, stationed as a presence for no other reason than it was just, you know, oh, yeah, there's the guys from the army. You know, yeah, nice. The actual infantry were overseas, and unbeknownst to anybody, particularly from Australia, the Japanese attacked the north of Papua New Guinea and sort of advanced on this airstrip, a strategically important airstrip, at a village called Isurava. And literally these guys who couldn't get into the army for whatever reason, and the Navy and the Air Force, they had flat feet or bad eyesight or one arm or whatever. They literally were like, okay, you guys go up and you take these rifles that were made for desert warfare, the clothes that you're wearing, which were weren't camouflage gear. It was for desert war, heavy wow. desert warfare, like linen cloth. And they're fighting in the tropics. They had they didn't have any bedding, and they
snowshoes apparently
with tennis rackets on them
on their feet. Insane.
And they found themselves taking on these guys, literally. The best of the best for they were trained. The Japanese were trained in jungle warfare and camouflage and what have you. And these Aussie battlers and absolute heroes, reluctant heroes, found themselves outnumbered 8-1, and they held off that for the first time ever in the history of our nation as a settled nation. Anyway, Australia was defended on Australian soil, because Papua New Guinea was Australian territory then, and the Japanese were defeated the first time on land in World War II by some boys from the 39th Battalion in Victoria and the 54th in Sydney. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they had to hold off the Japanese until the army could return from overseas. Wow. And they were on a massive boat back then. It's incredible, incredible, incredible story.
It is, but this is just a little part of it, because the problem is when you call a film Kokoda, you're going to get a lot of old blokes going along expecting a documentary.
Yes.
It's like when Gallipoli came out. Yeah. It's not, they didn't have that bit. Where was that? It's just about two blokes involved in Gallipoli. And that's often the best way to tell a big story.
It is.
Go in on a small part of it.
Yeah, and there's any number of stories. I mean, they could have done something about the Q store or whatever in 1942, but to their credit, the director's credit, Alistair Griss and his wonderful production team, he has condensed a story, and it's meant to be entertaining. It's a film. On the 7:30 report the other night, they had a historian on there complaining that they wouldn't have actually lit a bonfire on the track.
Yes, the bloke from Greeks on the Roof wouldn't have been in that war. What's that about? That's just wrong. But how does that help us today at Talkback Mountain?
Massively.
And it does, because I think we should get people to call in and say, you know, Kokoda's coming out. That's getting 4-star reviews. I'm reading them everywhere. Yeah. What other great Australian events should we see turned into a film? Ones that people haven't got around to yet.
And look at this.
Actual prizes?
The actual
prizes. That can't be, forget this. That must be for the shebang.
I stole them. Angus has brought in 4 sweet double passes to see Kokoda, which will go to our sweet, sweet callers.
There you go. Suddenly things are looking up.
Yeah.
There was, of course, the miniseries based on the America's Cup in 1983, starring Gus Mercurio as the evil head of the New York Sailing Club.
All right. Well, that one's been
don't
done.
Get me started. Yeah.
That was hilarious, that one. What about The Flight of Tony Mockbell? Can we get...
would you cast?
Tony
Mockbell. himself, when you find him.
He'll pop back. James Gandolfini. I think that's what we're all thinking.
I think so. I think so.
Or
you could actually have like border disputes or what have you. Albury v. Mildura.
Wow.
Albury versus Wodonga.
Oh, grudge match.
That's been brewing for a long time.
Shall we?
Well, what's your suggestion for an Australian-Aussie event?
I want to start talking to people.
Oh, okay, because you've prepared nothing. You've just sat there waving those tickets and thought that'll get me through the segment.
Fell off my bike once. That'd make a good movie.
There you go. See, it could be that.
Yeah.
Ed falls off his bike.
Yay.
Doesn't make it into the video shop. That could be a whole movie. That's what we want to hear, just Aussie events, big or small, that could rival Kokoda at the cinema.
Yes.
Is this more misguided than yesterday when we got... This is what we did on yesterday's segment, Angus. We got people to call in with their tragic breakup stories, and while you're there, give us a theme song for Snakes on a Plane.
Snakes on a Plane. I know someone who Nathan Phillips
who you were in, you and your stupid mate. Yes. And which one were you? Were you you or were you the stupid mate?
Depending on your review of the film, it's up to the up to the viewer. But I believe there was all this hidden. Well, I'm you. You do realise.
Right.
And we're like, William McGuinness, did he look at me when he said you?
He didn't want his name in the credits. I know that much.
Yes.
But look, are we running way over? The bear is shaking his head and threatening to bring in canned laughter. We'll get to all of this in a moment. Call us with your Aussie event that should be a film. 1-333-53.
Triple M.
Triple M.
Thank you very much, Chili Peppers. It's Get This on Triple M. We are ascending Talkback Mountain. With the wonderful assistance of Angus Sampson, he's in a new film called Kokoda. It's out today.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's got to be a lot of other Australian events.
Oh, listen, I'm chomping at the bit and am available to act in them.
So is Ed.
Oh, yeah. So is Ed. And you guys have got a film coming out. Let's not talk about it.
We'll get to that.
Boytown. Yeah. That's, every time I say it, people look at me like it's gay porn, but it's not.
Soon see.
Oh, it's a couple of bits.
Yeah.
Okay, let's meet the callers. I think we've got Dennis on the line. Dennis, are you there?
I certainly am.
What do you think should be turned into a big Aussie movie?
Has to be Trevor Chappell's Underarm.
Yes. Starring Vince Colosimo as the evil Richard Hadley.
And how would you stretch it out to feature length, though, Dennis?
Yeah.
Well, I think you've got to get in a bit of love interest. Bit of tension between the brothers. You know, it could be Brothers Underarm.
All right.
Oh, Brothers Underarm. That's not a bad title.
Maybe that's why Trevor did it, because Greg had the affections of a local ballet dancer.
See, now we're getting somewhere. Now we've got a pitch.
Yeah.
And there'd have to be a lot of analysis of the incident itself with playing the footage back. Frame 48, back and to the left.
Yeah. Nice.
A lot of that kind of stuff. Very nice, Dennis. That could work.
Mate.
Kendra is with us. Kendra, what is your idea for a big Aussie movie?
I'd like to see the great Aussie tradition of the desperate and dateless ball.
Oh, okay.
Hey, what kind of film are you envisaging? Kind of like a romp, like a comedy romp, or like a romantic comedy, or, you know, like a serious drama? What do you think?
Well, it could be either. I think there's something for everyone at one of those.
Sort of like a Thank God It's Friday kind of
thing. Yeah, absolutely.
24-hour party people, all that sort of action.
Have you ever been to one?
I have, when they were B&S balls in the bush, and it was lots of fun.
What did you get up to? I've never been to one. What happens?
Well, you just really get trashed, sleep in your car, and if your windscreen isn't smashed in the morning, then you're lucky.
And while you were doing that, the bear who panels our show was just doing rooting action.
He was. He was kind of grimacing at us as well while he was doing it.
I don't know if it was anything to do with the call. Just spontaneous.
About this time.
That could be a film. Would there be a role for Bud Tingwell in that?
Yeah.
I'm desperate and I'm dateless. We've got Darren on the line. Darren, what's your idea?
Oh, it'd have to be the Yana Pittman story, wouldn't it?
Oh, the Yana Pittman story.
Starring Claudia Carvin as Yana Pittman.
And Beck Cartwright as Tamsin Lewis.
That could work.
It would be absolutely tragic.
Okay.
There you go.
And I tell you who would be good as Yana Pittman, Roz Hammond. Don't you reckon she could do it? I wrote a sketch for a show at the ABC with Yana Pittman. It was just a series of disasters befalling her on the night before a race. And at one point she was clinging to the front of a piano that was on fire going down a hill. That show didn't get up.
Yeah.
Hey. Ross Hammond would be awesome. I'd love to see the scene where she goes in for braces. Okay, Lieback, this may just hurt a little.
McAuliffe's got to play the orthodontist.
Maybe Tamsin Lewis could play the orthodontist.
Oh.
Marathon Man style.
Sweet.
Could turn ugly.
Nice twist.
Very nice. I
like it.
Do you like that sound of that, Darren?
Oh, it sounds excellent.
And did you have any ideas for that yourself? Any music ideas or anything?
No. Just.
Oh, sorry. You've turned into a Dalek. We're obviously addressing Davros.
Thanks, Darren.
Thank you, Darren. I think Linda's with us. Linda, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What's your idea?
I think the Cliff Young story.
Oh, yes. Oh, the Cliff Young story.
Charles Bud Tingwell.
Shuffling to glory. Maybe then Yana Pittman could come in and start a fight with him. A really slow fight.
It would of course also feature Alex Dimitriadis as Yanis Kouros, the dashing young Greek marathon man.
You happy with that for a casting idea, Linda?
I think that's great. I thought actually Bert Newton might be good as Cliffy.
He's a little bit
And then Delta maybe is the girlfriend, you know, the passion at the end.
Who has the girlfriend?
Delta.
I thought you said Phelpsy.
No.
Wait a second. So you'd have Bert, who's in his 50s, I guess, and then at the end his girlfriend's Delta Goodrum.
Well,
that's awesome. He'd be running to Melbourne for that, or shuffling.
There's too many. My head is exploding with too many good ideas for movies. Have we got free tickets to Kokoda?
Yeah, all of those people get a sweet, sweet double pass.
All right.
To go along. Linda, are you still there?
Yes.
Do you want to be in it? Who would you play?
Oh, I hadn't thought that far. Maybe I'd be the evil mother-in-law.
You could be a passing sponger. Oh, Cliff, you have some sweat dribbling over your mole.
I'll meet you 5Ks down and we'll do it again. All right. Thanks, Linda. Thanks to everyone who climbed the mountain today. There's more to come on Get This.
Get This.
They're not transparent. They're not open. They're not accountable. They're not honest.
For Census 1234 on Triple M.
Are we running late again? Surely not on Get This.
Triple M.
Hey, that's our end theme music. We're obviously running late today again, Ed.
Yeah, what are we going
to
do?
We've just had so much fun talking to Angus Sampson.
Have
that's,
we ever?
That's the problem.
Yeah. I love talking to you, and may I say, welcome back on air, Tony, and welcome to Ed, and thank you so much for having me in, and please... if you do need anyone to bring catering, and Katie's away, happy to come back.
Oh, we've got to get you back for more of that fabulous Lou Ferrigno name dropping. we've got to do that. And hello to everyone trying to buy petrol today. Is it up to $7 a litre?
Yeah.
I think that's where it's heading. The cheapest day to buy petrol is Tuesday, the 3rd of June, 1995.
Look out for that.
Thanks to everyone who called in and took part. Angus is in Kokoda, which is out today. Not on Angus Day. Angus Day. Hey, there. I was going to say Anzac Day. I said Angus Day. There it is. A new holiday where you dress up as Dimmy from Greeks on the Roof and march up the street with other veterans of Axe TV shows. That's coming soon. Thanks to everyone who called in. Thanks to everyone who took part. And I think the key phrase today was shuffling to glory. And we'll be back tomorrow with Ross Noble.
Oui.
And it's all thanks to Census 1234.